Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is March 26, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by two awesome analysts in the commodity space, and that's Kevin Cones, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, what's happening?
Happy Friday. And I also have Eric Thornton of McKinney Flavelle, Commodity Specialist, our newest member and brightest member. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. Happy Friday.
Hope everybody's doing okay out there. And March Madness is continuing. And you know, I'll tell you, Craig said on a podcast recently, Texas. And I agreed with him. And guess what happened to Texas? They got out in the first round, right, Kevin?
It's just like clockwork.
Yeah.
Whatever the predictions are from pretty much any McKinney Flavelle person, including myself at times.
Yeah.
You pretty much bet the opposite. And
yep.
I think you got like a 65% success story in betting.
I know.
In the betting gambling world.
Yeah.
That is just money happening.
You know what we need to do? We need to talk to our new director of risk management, Sean Bingham, who has these commodity models, systematic models that are showing signals for all these great commodities. But we should have him do one on sports for us.
Yeah, you know what?
We don't have a good success.
I don't think that's going to work. Last I heard, he thought the Bears were going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true. But that was with his heart and not his mind.
Oh, okay.
Great. Well, hey, hope everybody's good out there. Guys, I thought we would talk a little bit about expectations for the planning intentions report next week, one. And two, I hear there's a ship stuck in the Suez Canal, and maybe our listeners would want to understand what the impact might be on that. So does that sound good?
As if we haven't had enough problem in the shipping world already.
Mm, can't even catch a break.
Yeah, I know. We did send Dario, our head of client relations, there with a shovel. So hopefully he can put his suit on and get down there and start digging the ship out. I don't know. Let's start with you, Kevin, and kind of give your ideas on next week's planning intentions report.
Well, sure. I'll start us out with sugar. And when we get the prospective plannings report, we only talk about beet plantings. We don't talk about cane area because that's not being planted. That's a ratoon crop that just kind of gets cut every year, although we do get some additional acreage. And when you do look at the cane area, it was a little bit of a surprise this year. We've seen, aggressive expansion in Louisiana where they've been adding, 8,000 acres one year, 11,000, 17,000 acres the next. It's just been a continued increase over the last 5 years or so. But this year we also saw 11,000 increase in Florida. And that was a bit surprising. It just didn't seem like there's that much land available, but apparently, they must be taking some area away from some other crops to get that type of expansion. And, it'd be nice to see that continue to grow.
Excellent.
Yeah. On the beet side, a little bit different story. We're not seeing huge expansion. We've had some additional acreage go in over the years. If they get late planting, some of the cooperatives have expanded to get that. And a large part of the minimal increases is based on capacity available, but we have seen some of the co-ops investing in more and more projects and increasing capacity, 5-10% here or there at some of their mills. And they're also, trying to figure out how to harvest their beets earlier in order to lengthen the campaigns as much as possible. So what we're hearing is maybe a little bit of expansion out west, 5,000 acres in the Idaho region.
Okay.
Plains, again, we haven't really seen much expansion there. I think you're going to see that stay, mostly unchanged. Red River Valley, depending on which co-op you're talking about, we're hearing a little bit of give and take. Mm-hmm. But, I think you'll see maybe 1,000, 1,500 acres additional this year. And then Michigan, they had flooding, a lot of wet weather. So if weather cooperates, they get plenty of beets there for their capacity. But we're actually hearing maybe a little bit of a reduction in Michigan. But, sum it all up, you're talking about maybe 5,000-6,000 acre increase.
Okay, great. All right, let's shift over to Eric. You want to talk a little bit about wheat, one of those volatile markets.
Sure.
What's the expectation for the Plain Intentions report?
Sure. So obviously with some of the movement up here in corn and soy the last 6-7 months, with the profitability now of those crops over wheat, we are expecting to see a reduction at least in spring wheat acres. So last year, 12.25 million planted acres. And this year, at least what I'm feeling is we'll be definitely below that number, 12 million, and probably somewhere between 11.5 and 11.7 million acres. We already know that there was additional winter wheat acreage planted last fall, so have a pretty good idea there of seeing an increase, but net-net looks like we'll probably be somewhere below 45 million acres still, so not a significant increase, but perhaps a modest increase from where we were last year at 44.3 million planted acres. You know, some of that is also a result of there was some prevent planted acres up in the northern plains especially, and even still the same for corn and soybeans in the Dakotas last spring by way of a very cold, wet start to the spring year. So I know that's where a lot of prevent planted acres were there, but likely that we see those acres get planted this year, since things are actually the opposite right now and are actually more dry and have some concerns of drought actually. But those acres should get planted, but we'll see the yield potential of those crops if dryness and warmer bias is predicted as expected here in the next few months. But that's kind of expectations of wheat. You know, we'll see a bump, but not as potentially significant as the bumps you may see in corn and soybeans, from what I hear.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what the numbers will be next week. And I think the trade is expecting 93.1 million acres for corn and 90.1 for soybeans.
Correct. Yep.
So what's your over under? Are you going over or under, Eric?
Don't ask me.
If I were to go over under, I'd probably go over corn, maybe under soybeans. I think we'll be under 90. Just I know we were at 84 and change last year, so to see, you know, 6.5-7 million more acres go to soybeans is quite a jump, even though we'll need every bushel we can manage. But that's probably where I would lean. I think some of the farmers historically tend to plant more corn over soy and some of those swing decisions. But what's your thoughts, Kev, on that?
I kind of agree. Corn is king. Farmers will try to get that in. And I think, you know, obviously weather will come into play there and be a really important factor. If it, you know, remains fairly dry and here and farmers can get corn in the ground, I think, you know, you could see a little bit higher number there.
And, you know, my opinion is actually the opposite. So it happens. How about that?
Very good. Very nice. Good.
Knowing my betting. Well, let's end it on this whole, you know, there's a ship called the Ever Given in the Suez Canal that is stuck. And I think all of our listeners can appreciate the understanding of how global supply is very important, the issues and the cost increases we've seen on container freight coming into the United States and how important it is. And unfortunately, we've got a big ship there stuck in the Suez Canal. And I think it just reminds us that how important global supply chain is, not only to our country, but all over the world. And boy, not just to add some more volatility, do you guys have an opinion on this Ever Given giving us trouble?
Well, I'm just curious, Mike, is it true? Is the conspiracy theory correct that this was an intentional situation?
You know, I talked to the driver. No, I didn't. And he fell asleep. So I don't think it was intentional. I mean, if you look at the pictures, I mean, it's looks like somebody just kind of screwed up. Maybe it was a trainee that was driving it, but, you know, they're just trying to dig it out. And like I said, we've sent Dario.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult to drive a boat, though, that's the size of the Empire State Building, at least if the building was turned horizontal. So boy, that's a lot of weight to manage. And I think he got blown off course, if I recall, from a windstorm and some high winds. So unfortunate situation there, obviously, with, like you mentioned, with the already major headaches at the ports and things taking much longer to reach their final destinations. This certainly could add some additional headaches. I'm reading and hearing that the likely fix to this is to actually dredge the ship out, which, seeing some of the pictures, and that may take days to potentially weeks from some of the estimates there. So
unbelievable.
That'll certainly add some lead times if they ships are having to go directed down Africa and around that way to get to the US and other areas. So I think that's definitely something to monitor, and likely, you know, our buying community needs to keep track of some of their imported ingredients with their suppliers, make sure they have enough lead time and safety stocks and such built up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Kevin, any thoughts on that to add to Eric, or should we let people get off for their vacation and weekends and whatever they have?
I think it's time to let people move on and have a great weekend. Yeah.
Well, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment you have with your friends and family. Don't take it for granted, and do something for yourself this weekend. Kevin, do something for yourself. What are you going to do? Go play golf?
Four.
There you go. How about you, Eric? What are you going to do this weekend for yourself?
Well, I wish I could do what Kevin's doing, but probably going to do some boring stuff like house chores. So that's what I'll be busy with. I hope everybody else isn't doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to finish spreading the 7 yards of mulch that I got delivered.
There you go.
And finish that up and then, you know, ride up the mountain. Do something like that. So hopefully you guys out there, listeners, do something for yourself this weekend. Enjoy it. And until next time, take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.